Hello, everyone. Thanks for joining us. We're really glad you were able to make it today. I'm John Noonan with Windows Azure Marketing, and I've got two of our mobile services experts, Kirill Gavrilyuk, our Principal Program Manager on mobile services, and Miranda Luna, our Product Manager on mobile services, here today for our discussion on building scalable consumer mobile apps. We'll start out with a presentation from Miranda and Kirill, and then we'll finish up with a Q&A session. So if you have any questions along the way, feel free to submit, and we'll answer as many as possible at the end of the presentation. So with that, I'll hand it over to Miranda.
Thanks, John. Really appreciate it. And thank you to everybody for joining us today. We're really excited to cover some of the great things you can do in building consumer-facing mobile applications using Windows Azure. Primarily, what we're going to focus on is two services within Azure, mobile services and notification hubs. Mobile services is the back end of the service, which means we're going to provision some dedicated compute for you, put a little wrapper on top of it, provision a SQL database right away, and make it really easy for you to send push notifications, do user authentication, write custom APIs, things like that. Notification Hubs is a broadcast push service. It's going to make it a lot easier to hook in a high-powered push notification infrastructure into your existing app backend. So we will cover those in a little bit more depth, but just to give you an idea of where we're headed, we're going to start off by just kind of covering the landscape of mobile backends in Azure, and then we'll deep dive on those two services. We'll close up with some best practices and resources, and then, as John said, open it up for Q&A. So in Windows Azure, there are four different compute models. So as you can see, you might have talked to some of your friends that work at companies like WebZen or Glassboard or even Winterski and Ride out of SDC, and they might have told you, hey, you know, well, I host my app backend in virtual machines. Well, I host mine in cloud services using web and worker roles. Well, I host mine in websites. I host mine in mobile services. You can host your application backend in any of those. You're going to get dedicated compute resources under each one of those depending on the mode you pick, and there's nothing preventing you from building a mobile application using any of those. But as you can see in this slide, there's kind of a trade-off in each one of these, right? So you're trading off degree of customizability for kind of speed and development, ease of maintenance. And that flows right down from virtual machines all the way through mobile services. If you think of virtual machines as kind of the base layer, the infrastructure services layer, you're really having control over everything, right? From everything from when and if you patch the OS, all the way over to which OS that is, are you running Ubuntu, are you running Windows, what year, what version, and you're installing everything. You have full control. It's as close to the metal as you're going to get. Moving down to the right a little bit, you're getting into cloud services with web and worker roles, and that's going to be our more general platform services. That means we're going to handle things like OS patching. We're going to say, hey, okay, you want to have a web role? Great, that already has IIS installed. Do you want to use worker roles for just some back-end processing? Fantastic. We're not going to install IIS on those. We're not going to maintain it. Websites, you could totally stand up a back-end in Windows Azure website. If you want to use PHP, you'd be welcome to. If you want to use .NET, you want to use Node, all those are supported. Again, we're going to be doing a lot of patching for you, and there are some higher-level services we offer around web specifically. Mobile services, which you see down at the right, is what we've really created to fill that vertical in terms of mobile applications that need to scale. And when you think consumer-facing applications, that's even more important than ever before, because you need to know that, you know, certain things, that as you scale, every piece of the connection is going to scale with you, you know. If you're using Twitter authentication, you're not going to hit a wall with your 500,000th user. If you are connecting to a push notification service from Apple that changes its protocols, you need to trust that we're going to take care of updating those for you, and your application's not going to suffer, and your user's not going to experience any sort of performance issues. Whereas, so you're getting all that with something that's higher level and around the mobile vertical, like mobile services, you're not necessarily getting that with virtual machines. So it's, again, it's up to you based on how much you want to have, how much customizability you want versus how much you really want to benefit from the speed of deployment and ease of maintenance going forward. So if we take a minute to kind of dive into mobile services, we'll just take a VGTV app as an example. VGTV is a service out of Verdens Gang out of Norway. It's one of their major broadcast media providers. And when they were thinking, hey, you know, what's the best way to deliver traditional television content and media content to our consumers in 2014, they thought, okay, well, we definitely need to reach them on mobile devices, everything from Windows Store to iOS to Android. And we want them to have, you know, an experience you don't get on the TV. You should be able to make favorites lists. You should be able to get new push notifications. You should be able to get push notifications when new content is added for shows that you're watching. So to enable things like this and to enable a more engaged experience, they turned to mobile services to make it easier so they could really focus on building out that experience they wanted their users to have instead of thinking through the plumbing. Like, how am I going to make sure that I have a scripting environment so that I can roll a custom API and use a Twilio module? They let us handle all of that so that they could focus on, okay, well, what's the best design? What's really going to engage our users? Let's think about what kind of content we want to produce to really make sure that we're staying number one in the industry. So to give you a quick overview of kind of what mobile services is, we provide SDKs for Windows Store, iOS, Android, and Windows Phone, as well as HTML5 JavaScript. We also partner with Xamarin to also give our developers the option to build iOS and Android apps in C# rather than Objective-C or Java, like you'd have to if you went completely natively. That kind of helps with code reuse. You can reuse up to 70-80% of code between client platforms, which is great when you go with something like Xamarin. But again, for those who are more comfortable going completely native, we offer native SDKs for iOS and Android. All these services are, again, accessible through the SDK, but if you're someone who wants to really roll your own, you know, we obviously have an open and flexible REST API. All the SDKs are available on GitHub under an Apache 2.0 license. So you can recreate any of the functionality we provide for different platforms if you'd like, or just access the services directly without going through the SDK. So what do you get when you kind of say, all right, I want to create a new mobile service in the portal, which we were planning to demo for you, but we had a bit of a technical difficulty in the presentation. So we'll include some screenshots in the presentation you can download later. But what you get is right when you hit create new mobile service, it's going to provision a Windows Azure SQL database for you. That is a relational database that's completely in Windows Azure. A lot of you may be more familiar with SQL Server on-prem or even SQL Server in a VM. Windows Azure SQL database is going to have pretty much the same feature set. It's going to be missing a few things to support the more complex querying scenarios. But again, as you can see from the alternative data options listed to the right, if you do have scenarios where, hey, maybe you want to store a bunch of images in blob storage, or you want to use table storage for logging, or you do want to use SQL Server in a VM because maybe you already have a production database stored there, you can also do that, and I'll cover how to do that in a minute. In terms of user authentication, you know, providing a personalized experience is one of the most important things you can do for your customers today. So we made it really, really easy to provide your users with the option to log in via Facebook, Twitter, Microsoft, or Google account, as well as Active Directory. This is more consumer-facing, so we won't be focusing on that today. But, you know, in addition to these four options, which are out of the box in terms of you just kind of copy over the credentials you get from each identity provider into the Windows Azure portal. In addition to that, you can, of course, roll your own custom authentication option. You want to give users the opportunity to log in using their an email and a custom password that's specific to your application rather than their Facebook or Twitter credentials. You can, of course, do that. We'll cover a little bit about how you can do that later, but, you know, anything from custom authentication to working in conjunction with the Windows Azure website that has SSL, in order to provide a secure way to reset passwords, it's all doable with mobile services. The last thing you're going to see there is a little note about push notifications. Mobile services lets you very, very easily connect to the different push notification providers. And that's one of the key benefits you really get from using a service in Azure that's specific to mobile app development. As you can see from the screen, each one of the major client platforms has different push notification services. You'll see WNS for Windows, APNS for Apple, GCM for Google. And all of those have different protocols and message formats. It can be a lot to handle, and it can easily go a couple thousand lines of code to kind of roll your own push notification infrastructure. We've made that much easier. Once you kind of copy over your developer credentials to the Windows Azure portal or upload a certificate, if it's AP for Apple, you're able to get up and running with something as simple as push.wns.send and then specifying the payload, and you can send a push notification with just that. I'm also flagging notification hubs right there, which we'll get into later. Notification hubs is a push specific service. So you're not getting any sort of compute environment in which you can host the backend. What you're getting is just the push component, and it's a really highly powerful push component that allows you to broadcast millions of push notifications at once or inbox millions of push notifications to users very rapidly, and you do that all with some personalization. So if you look at the rightmost side, you'll also see something really cool in terms of the scripting environment we provide. We provide you an out-of-the-box scripting environment that's right now only available in JavaScript, but we plan to support .NET soon. And what you're able to do is on table scripts on a SQL database, that means any CRUD operation and insert, read, delete, update, you can add a little custom business logic. So if you wanted, for example, say, okay, every time there's a new row inserted and one of the things you know your users is going to input is an image, you could write a little script and then connect to the Azure module for Node.js and use that to upload the image to Blob Storage. So that's kind of where you're getting all the extensibility in terms of other Azure services, in terms of services available in the store like SendGrid or New Relic. It's going to be through your scripting environment. So there's the table scripts, which I kind of covered right now. And again, we apologize that we can't demo them today. Come back on Wednesday. And then there's also scheduled scripts. So if you want to maybe run a script that cleans up your database once a week, or you want to resize images at the end of every day to a specific file format and pixel dimensions, you're able to do that. Again, that scripting environment is all in JavaScript currently, but we will support .NET. And then lastly, custom API, which in conjunction with the source control you see underneath that, lets you install and use any node module. So let's say you want to use you want to add Twilio functionality for using SMS or voice in your mobile application. It's really easy. You just npm install the Twilio node module, and then from there you can use it in any of your scripts. And of course, you can have a shared folder in source control if you want to be able to share that functionality across multiple scripts so that you're not having to rewrite methods in every script that might be common to multiple ones. So that's a quick overview of mobile services and what you can do. I know that we were going to kind of jump into demo at this point, but I'm going to hand it off to Kirill so he can talk a little bit about notification hubs and round out anything in mobile services he'd like to.
Thank you, Miranda. So, as Miranda mentioned, we're having difficulty projecting our screen into the video feed. However, the quick point that the demo was going to carry across, and we will share the video of the demo later on, it takes one click and less than 30 seconds to create a mobile service. And that is the key distinction back to the ease of development. Right out of the gate, when you create a mobile service, you get secure APIs to store your structured data in the cloud, to authenticate your users with any of the social identity providers, or Windows Azure Active Directory. Right out of the gate, you get ability to send push notifications to your users, and many more other things. Now, the key is, by default, we store your data, structured data, in SQL Azure. You don't have to use SQL Azure. If your data model is pretty straightforward and simple and it's just key value pairs, you can use Windows Azure Table Storage, for example. Or if you prefer a document-oriented database, you can use Mongo from Mongo Labs. You can use all of that in conjunction with mobile services. The data that you store, whether it's SQL Azure or Azure Table or anywhere else, is your data. And again, this is mobile services, while providing you this ease of development, does not lock you in. The data belongs to you. You can do anything you want with it. In order to extend capabilities, and as you observe that you quickly need to extend capabilities of mobile services, you can use scripting environment that Miranda just mentioned. Again, the point, a distinction between mobile services and some of our other competitors in this space is that the scripting environment that mobile services provide is just Node.js. You can bring any of Node.js modules, there are hundreds and thousands of modules right now, you can bring any of that ecosystem in your app. You can call any service from your app, any Windows Azure service, or anything else on the internet. And it's all open. You don't have to You don't have to use our portal to edit your scripts, and likely you won't. You can use source control, integrated source control. You keep your scripts in the in either GitHub or TFS or any other source control system that you prefer, and you can use it in conjunction with mobile services. Again, it's all about openness and enablement, and at the same time preserving simplicity of creation and development with mobile services. And that's a key differentiation that mobile services provides. Now moving on, as we mentioned, mobile services gives you a push notifications feature, capability of sending push notifications to your users. As it turns out, there are many scenarios where you need a more advanced, functionally rich push notification, and we have a standalone service, Notification Hubs, that does push notifications. It is also available to you via mobile services. You can use kind of simple push that you get in your scripting environment, or you can use notification apps from your mobile services scripts. Before we start talking about notification apps, let me give you an example of one of our customers. Bing News is an application that is installed with every Windows device. However many Windows units Microsoft and Microsoft partners sold, everywhere there is Bing News. Bing News is a news aggregator. There are a number of other Bing apps on those devices. Bing News aggregates news, and it is critical for Bing to deliver breaking news about any particular topic as fast as possible to everyone who uses it, which translates to delivering breaking news to millions of customers simultaneously in a very short period of time, ideally under a minute. The functionality within mobile world to use for that is push notifications. However, a challenge is sending you push notifications at such a scale simultaneously. And at the same time, ability to segment your audience and deliver those push notifications to individual customers or to segments of customers. For example, if you are delivering some news about what's happening in Seattle, people in Jamaica may not particularly care about it. So you may want to segment your news only to people who live in Seattle or otherwise signed up for that topic of interest. Bing News uses notification hubs to do that, to send push notifications at high scale. Notification hubs. Briefly to explain how push works and kind of to introduce terminology. Typically, whenever you do push notifications on your mobile app, the app retrieves device handle, whether it's a channel URI on Windows or device token on iOS or registration ID on Android. The client app retrieves device handle from a platform notification service. Each platform, each mobile platform, has a platform notification service, which we'll call PNS. Once the app retrieves device handle, it can give it to application backend, and from there on, application backend can send notifications to that app on that device using a device handle. Sending one notification, push notification, is very straightforward and relatively easy. The challenges occur when you try to do that at high scale across multiple platforms and do more advanced scenarios with it. Starting with dealing with multiple platforms, you have to write a lot of platform-specific code in your backend to talk to individual PNSs. And they all have different capabilities, different protocols, use different protocols, etc. You also have, typically, an app wants to send notifications to either individual users or groups of users, maybe segments of the audience or markets. The app, while the PNS itself, can only deliver a notification to individual device handle. So the app backend has to maintain these tables of device handles and map them to the logical user groups and users. The challenge with this is, of course, device handles are not static. They change, they expire. You have to maintain the dedupe logic. You have to purge them. Once as they expire, you have to listen to the PNS feedback about what does it tell you about the particular device handles. Doing that, maintaining that at scale can be a management nightmare. personally. Also, you often face the fact that many of your users need have different preferences for notifications, and they want to receive personalized notifications based on their language, on their device, currency, etc. As we mentioned in Bing scenario, you also often want to send those notifications at high volumes with very low latency. So you have to, if you do it on your own, you have to maintain a large number of worker roles and have it constantly, because you don't know when you might be needing them. And of course, we will talk about device handling. So all of these challenges are solved by notification hubs. The way notification hubs works is that it is an aggregator that lives between your application backend and the individual PNSs. Notification hubs works with any of the backends. It could be on-premise backends, it could be a cloud backend, it could be written in .NET or Java or Node.js. It doesn't matter. Notification hubs is offered via simple REST API. We also provide you SDKs, so the client SDKs that wrap around those REST APIs. What you typically do is your app either registers directly the device handle with Notification Hub for particular logical groups or logical users, or gives the device handle to the backend, and the backend registers it with Notification Hubs for one or more logical groups and users. Logical groups and users are represented in Notification Hubs via so-called tags. Tags is a simple string. You can have as many tags as you like. There are no limits. And you can register a single device handle for as many tags as you like as well. And tags provide you both the delineation, abstraction over from the physical device handles. So you let Notification Hub deal with managing device handles, while your app backend works only with logical users and groups of users. Tags allow you to get platform abstraction, where you can send a logical message to a tag, and Notification Hubs will translate that logical message to physical representations, depending on the platform, for each of the device handle registered with that tag. Tags can represent segments of the audiences, where you're sending everyone who is in New York, like in this diagram, or everyone who is in Seattle. And so Notification Hubs will figure out which device handles are registered for that particular tag and send to them. We provide pretty rich tag expression language. So application backend can choose to send to an expression of tags, to any combination or intersection of the tags, allowing you to be more precise when you're sending notification to a large group of customers. Scenarios where you can use this to varies from individual pushes, in a symbol, whether it's a turn-by-turn game or whether it's a line of business application, or send it to broadcasting it, like in the breaking news scenarios that we just mentioned around Bing News. Or you can use it for campaign management and sending campaign push notifications. Any of the scenarios where you use push notifications, Notification Hubs will help you both from the maintenance and management standpoint, as well as from fast, low latency, high volume delivery. Here's an example of how Bing News uses Notification Hubs to achieve that. So Bing News has a number of tags. Each tag represents a particular market, whether it's North America, whether it's a particular state or any geographical markets or any other topics of interest. And then when Bing News operator wants to send a push notification to target particular combination of markets, it sends it from the portal, and Notification Hubs will broadcast that simultaneously those notifications to every device handle registered for the tag or the tag expression, irrespective of which platform those device handles are correspond to, which operating system those users use. Bing can also is able to leverage the personalization component that notification provides, where you can register for each device, you can register a template that allows you to transform that message to a form that reflects user preferences. And as such, we can execute those transforms simultaneously and deliver personalized messages to millions in the Bing News audience. We'll skip the demo given that we can't project the screen. But you can easily play with any of those apps that use notification hubs and see it in practice. To summarize the notification hubs capabilities, we provide you cross-platform push notifications targeting iOS, Android, Windows, Windows Phone, or any of the versions of Windows Phone. We provide you device handles lifecycle management, so you don't need to worry about managing millions of device handles, and those are pretty short-lived, so it must be underestimated. We work with any, we can be used with any of the backend, whether your backend is in Windows Azure, whether it's on-premise, whether it's in some other cloud, you can use notification hubs. It provides a rich set of delivery patterns. You can do it either broadcast or unicast or multicast, any of which you like, using those tags, the abstractions. We offer you a per-device handle transformation capability using templates. So you can register templates and use them for personalization of your messages or localization of your messages. And we have a slew of other features that are required sometimes if you're running a multi-tenant, if you're hosting multi-tenant apps, if you want to delineate the, using claim-based auth between who can send and who can register. Of course, as with any other system, we provide you rich telemetry and so forth. Notification Hubs has one goal in mind, to make sure that you can send large volumes of push notifications to any of the customers, no matter which platform they're using, with one single API call at a time. So that rounds up notification hubs, and I'm going to give over to Miranda to talk about the summary and talk about best practices and resources.
Thanks, Carol. So we just wanted to close before we open up Q&A with some of the lessons we've learned from, you know, our customers who are operating in production today at pretty high scale. You know, with a consumer-facing application, you're going to run into some issues when you scale if you don't kind of plan ahead, and that's true, you know, no matter what compute model you're using, no matter which platform you're targeting, no matter which cloud you're built in. You just have to kind of architect for success in that in order to have a really scalable and successful consumer-facing app. So, you know, one of the things that we've found our customers run into frequently is, you know, if they're not as familiar with SQL basics and making sure to index the right columns or, you know, run a query analyzer, they typically run into problems when they get into the hundreds of thousands of users. You know, it's always important to consider caching when you have a globally distributed customer base, and especially one that's going to be accessing a small amount of information pretty frequently. You know, think about some of the trade-offs you get between Azure Table Storage, which is just kind of that key value pair NoSQL option, versus a really structured data store like SQL Database. You know, for certain things, you may not need the support as rich of querying scenarios as you would with SQL Database. And something that's, you know, cheaper and less robust, like table storage, might be a better option for you. The other thing to consider is if you do anticipate needing that really rich querying, and you think that you're going to be scaling up to support many concurrent users, you know, it might be a better idea to look into Windows Azure SQL Database Premium. That's going to give you improved performance as you scale. And again, partitioning kind of rolls back into the SQL basics and just making sure that you're really setting yourself up for success and not creating a bottleneck in terms of your data. In terms of notification hubs, we really encourage everyone, whether they have an application backend hosted on-premises, in virtual machines, or in mobile services, to turn to notification hubs for push. You know, an easy way to think about kind of when it would be easier to use mobile services versus notification hubs, but, you know, what that trade-off looks like is, you know, think of a turn-based game. If you have two players, it's really easy using push in mobile services to send a notification to player two when player one's completed their turn, right? But when you have 10,000 player twos, 100,000 player twos, 1,000,000 player twos, finishing a turn at once and saying, okay, now please push the player one that's paired with this single, these 100,000 million logical users. That scale can be a little tough to hit with any amount of low latency, depending on how many or mobile services or virtual machines you have provisioned underneath that backend. So that's why it's just so much better to go with Notification Hub, which is just that push component on its own, and you can scale it independently. You know, it supports that logical scenario where you're just pushing between player one and player two, because you can use Notification Hub in the mobile services scripting model. So if you want to use Notification Hub in TableScript, so every time, you know, player one is making a move and, you know, you want to be able to add a little bit of logic there, you can absolutely do that with Notification Hub in conjunction with mobile services. So Notification Hub is really going to set you up for success as you scale. You can definitely use push in mobile services, but to succeed in a massive consumer-facing application, Notification Hub is going to give you that scale that you need under the push component of the application. Again, one thing we may not have spent a ton of time on that we can provide some extra content for is when to go with tags versus templates. Really think of tags as what you want to do for interest. Logical users, groups of users, segments of your audience, so things like, you know, location, male, female, favorite team, what teams they're following, things like that. You probably want to put templates instead to say, like, okay, this is Android version, this is Android Jelly, this is a phone, this is Android Jelly Bean, it's this type of phone, rather than putting that as a tag. Templates are also probably where you want to put something like, hey, display this logical user's currency in yen versus dollars, because if you do it as a tag, you're going to have to send multiple notifications. Anything you put as a template, you're containing all that information in one message that you're sent from the Notification Hub, and then when that message arrives to the device, the formatting is applied on the client side. So that's going to prevent you from having to send multiple messages if you kind of use templates for personalization in terms of language, currency type preference, message display type based on device, things like that. But for sending completely different messages with different content to different groups of users based on interest, that's where you're going to want to go with tags. So just to kind of reiterate, you know, we have a lot of things we've learned from our customers in production today. You know, customers like Active Fitness and Winter Ski and Ride on the Windows platform, all the way to TalkTalk Business, Follow for Follow, and Wedding Happy on iOS. You know, there's definitely best practices we can share. Our team is very, very engaged. So you can always reach out to Kirill and I on Twitter. You can reach out to the team by emailing mobileservices@microsoft.com. We're active on User Voice. We're active in the forum. And I did want to kind of point you towards some resources you can also take advantage of to kind of get started. What you're seeing here is the mobile services resources in terms of the documentation center, Channel 9 content. Again, those SDKs, which are available on GitHub, they're completely open source. It's actually funny, we had a member of our community kind of write an unofficial SDK for Android before we did. So definitely a lot of extensibility there, and we're happy to see what you can create. In terms of Notification Hub, it looks like I can't. Let's see, let me advance that really quick. All right, well, I can't advance that slide. There we go, perfect. So that's some pointers to tutorials and resources for different platforms. Again, tons of Channel 9 content. You can check out the different device SDKs and server SDKs. You know, you aren't limited just to .NET and Node. Like Carol mentioned, you can use it with PHP, Ruby if you wanted to. And just take a look at that REST API reference. So I think with that, we're ready to answer any questions. John?
Yeah, thanks, Miranda and Kirill. So we've got some good questions here. The first one to kick it off is the following. What's the best way for me to add custom authentication to my mobile services app?
All right. So we have some blogs on this topic. This is Kirill. The basic principle there is mobile services accept used JWT tokens, JWT, for continuous authentication. And so we have kind of built-in STS that allows you to exchange the tokens that you get from Facebook, Twitter, Google, etc., and translate them into JWT tokens. Now, it is very easy to issue the JWT token yourself. And so there is a blog out there that which we can add to the resources that describes how to add custom authentication and issue JWT tokens yourself so that mobile services can accept it and let the request through.
Great. And a somewhat related follow-on question. Is there a possibility to use Notification Hub for OSX push notifications as well? I understand we're talking about mobile, but OSX notifications would be relevant while talking about Notification Hub.
Definitely. You can use Notification Hub with OSX as well. There is no, yeah, it's the same process. You need to supply the same cert the same way as you would do it with iOS.
Okay. So next question, how can I learn more about geofenced push in Notification Hubs?
So geofencing, we don't have a built-in turnkey functionality to do the geofence-based push. What customers do to implement it is they map geofences to tags in Notification Hubs. So you add a tag per geofence. Then you add an event handler inside your client app based on the significant location change event. Or if you have a small set of fixed geofences that you can actually supply with the app, then you can register on those geofences. And basically, anytime the user comes in or leaves the geofence, you can register and unregister the device handle with the corresponding tag in Notification Hubs. This allows you to, at any given point in time, sending the push notifications to everyone within a particular geofence by virtue of the fact that they're all going to be registered for the corresponding geofencing tag.
And we also have a video that Ilio, one of the program managers on Carol's team, did on Cloud Cover that we'll add to the resources section as well.
Great. All right, so next question. If I have a local-only game right now, what are the best things that adding a mobile services backend can do for me?
Sure. So, I mean, when you think about things you can do with a connected backend that you can't do when it's local-only, you know, you really are just talking about that, taking that level of engagement and activity up to the next level and making sure that your users have a reason to stay active and to keep using your game. You know, you can do anything from adding a global leaderboard and letting people track their high scores both against themselves versus and against their friends, all the way to sending push notifications with special offers or reminders to get back into the game, you know, notifications when if it's turn-based that, you know, somebody else has completed their turn so that they aren't waiting there and having to constantly reopen the app. You know, you can, again, add that authentication so you can find friends and add social components. You know, the possibilities are really unlimited, but, you know, what we see people typically do first is to get up and running with a global leaderboard, so it's really easy once you add that data component, and then to start building out from there in terms of social and then push.
Great. So next question, I've currently got a backend hosted on-premise and some data sensitivity concerns. Can I still use Notification Hubs? Do I need anything special like Service Bus Relay or VPC?
Absolutely not. You can call Notification Hubs from your on-premise backend using either one of our SDKs or the REST API directly. You don't need to do any particular network topology or any changes to where your backend is. It's very straightforward. In fact, if you looked at the some of the examples that we mentioned, for example, Bing News, the actual backend is not hosted on for that particular app. I believe the backend is not hosted on Windows Azure, and it's easy to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing to keep in mind is anytime you're sending a push notification, that's going to already get routed through those platform push notification services, right? So it's going to have to go through Google or Apple or Microsoft platform push services anyhow. So, you know, you shouldn't be sending any ultra-sensitive data in the push notification itself. So that means that, you know, kind of adding Notification Hubs is that extra layer through which it goes in order to make it easier for you to reach those customers more quickly. It doesn't really introduce any additional security concerns.
All right, and for the final question that's come in, I have a backend on-prem and send a notification to all my users at once. How do I ensure that all of them opening the notification at once won't overwhelm my system?
I would ask the question whether you can, what do you mean by overwhelming the system? So in reaction to the push, when the push notifications comes into individual devices and people click on those, let's say that they want to open the app, what the app does at that point in time is really up to the app itself. My understanding, you may be asking about the question about the in your logic in the app immediately sends a request to some backend somewhere on-prem. I would suggest in this case to use queues, depending if the information that you're sending from the app is, like, if the request is not read or just some updates, etc., or if it's just read only request, then use caching or use the CDN or any, depending on the nature of the information there.
Yeah, and would another option be, Gerald, to kind of use those tags is also a way to kind of batch up your users. So if you are concerned about something like that and you want to at least test it out initially, send a notification to a subset of your users at once to kind of test what your logic can handle based on how you've set up your application.
Yeah, definitely. You can segment the audience. That's also a pretty reasonable approach. You don't have to send to everyone at once. You can split them into 10 or 100 tags and send one group at a time.
All right. Well, thanks again, everyone, for joining us today. We'll be sure to follow up with an email. Got some questions on the slides and the deck. So we'll include both a recording of the webinar as well as Kirill and Miranda's slides. And we'll also pass along some links for video demos so you can get some hands-on learning around using mobile services. So thanks again to Kirill and Miranda, and hope you all have a good rest of your day.
Thank you.